The beauty of a good parable is it snags you just about the time you're ready to say, oh, yes, bring those people to a wretched end. Oh, you mean me? The prophet Elijah does this to David. You know, he tells him a story about a rich man who had a whole flock of sheep, but he wanted this one sheep that this poor man had, and so he arranged to steal that sheep from him. And when he told that story to King David, David said, oh, that man should be killed. And Elijah says, that man is you. Because what David had done is he had stolen the wife of one of his most trusted generals just because he lusted after her. The Bible is filled with human stories about human sin. And so we have a couple of stories about vineyards here. First one is from Isaiah, and he's writing this at the time of the exile. It's a way of explaining to the Israelites why they are in exile, why they brought this down on their own heads. And so God brought a vine out of Egypt, and he transplanted it into the new promised land of Israel, all pure gift, rescuing them from slavery and death, forming them through a lifetime in the wilderness to be his own people. He espouses them. He marries them. And the image of that is this wonderful, beautiful vineyard that has a nice stone wall around it and has been hoed and fertilized and taken care of. And there's just, what more could I have done for that vineyard, he asks them. And yet, I get sour grapes. I ask for justice, and I get the outcry. What is the fruit that God was asking of them? Justice or love? You see, they were victims of injustice in Egypt, and somehow they lost track of that, and then they were unjust to their own people, to each other in the land of Israel. And they were unjust to the aliens among them, and God reminds them through the prophets, remember that you were once aliens yourselves in Egypt. How could you forget this? How could you lose sight of all the blessings that have been given to you? How could you miss the point of all of this? How could you not bear fruit? And so Jesus, of course, very much aware of that metaphor that Isaiah uses, picks it up again and uses it in his own context, in his own time. So what's happening in Jesus' time? There is a restructuring program for the temple. It began about 20 years before Christ and ended, you know, I think, in 46 AD. It was started by Herod, and so that was right in the middle of its progress. That project was going on when Jesus says this parable. And so when he talks about the stone being rejected, he's referring to himself. Because they're standing around, stones lying around ready to be constructed into this temple. And so temple and what all that means and everything is very much on people's minds, and it's on Jesus' mind. But see, Jesus' understanding or Jesus' intention about temple is so different from theirs. They're obsessed about a building, and they're obsessed about the symbolism of that building, you know, that there's some, despite the fact that they're a vassal state of Rome and they don't have independence politically or economically, and despite the fact that they're an insignificant small little nation, but we do have this great temple, and it says that we are somebody. But Jesus understands himself to be the temple. You remember in another occasion, Jesus says, destroy this temple and I will rebuild it in 3 days. And they say, it took 46 years to build this temple. How are you going to restore it in 3 days? And his disciples later recalled that what he was really talking about was his own body. Destroyed on the cross and 3 days later rebuilt in his resurrection. Remember that for the last 4 or 5 weeks, We've been hearing gospel stories from Matthew about Jesus telling parables to the leaders, to the scribes, the Pharisees, the chief priests, the elders, all of the educated, significant leader kind of people who should have been the first ones to recognize the Messiah when he came. They had studied the law. They knew what the expectations of the Messiah were. They spent time reflecting on this. And when he comes, they miss it completely, because they've built up these structures and these ways of thinking that block out the action of God in their midst. And so Jesus comes in unexpected ways. He's born in a stable. He's born of insignificant, low-class parents. He has no place to lay his head. He's an itinerant preacher. He's not all that well respected or renowned. And yet he speaks a truth that touches people's hearts. And despite all their plots to kill him, they're afraid of the crowd who regard him as a prophet. And so this is the context of Jesus when he's saying this parable to these people. You were unable to recognize the visitation of God when it happened. Therefore, this vineyard is going to be taken away from you and given to some people who will produce good grapes, who will produce justice and love and peace. And he's talking about the church. The church is the new Israel. It's the new Jerusalem. But let's not miss the fact that these parables could be leveled against us too, because for 2,000 years we have been the temple. We have been the body of Christ. We have been responsible for bringing justice into the world, for being a sign, a sacrament of the love that God has for his people. And yet we have failed. There's injustice, insurrections, wars, it just goes on and on and on. And we do very little about it. But before we get too down on ourselves, let's not forget grace. Let's not forget that God forgives us for our failings, that God invites us here to his table, to his heavenly banquet, despite our unworthiness, that God is infinitely patient with our inability to bring justice and love, with our failures against each other, our failures against the poor. He's not letting us off the hook, but he's saying, okay, don't get too stressed out. And that's the message that Paul gives in that second reading. If you just move along with the grace, if you trust that God is present among you, if you trust that if you simply cooperate with that grace, you will do amazing things. Oh, you won't change the world in an instant. Jesus didn't either. The biggest problem is we do a lot. We do a lot of good, wonderful things that aren't noticed and aren't appreciated, and sometimes we doubt ourselves. St. Paul says, chill out. You know, recognize the good that you are doing. Just keep following me and keep following Christ, and all will be well. And so we come here another Sunday to do this thing that we do so well. We trust in God's mercy. We allow ourselves to be transformed into Christ by what we're doing here. We offer ourselves along with Christ to the Father. And then we get sent out into the world to do it again, through starts and stops and through failure and success. And next week we're going to be back here again, and we just keep doing this, because gradually, over time, grace transforms us. We become more and more just. We become more and more the body of Christ, more and more joined to him who saves us.